every single member on the board and to start with why we have a Muslim board. So we will start now we need to understand any issue. We need to have a command, to have an understanding, a good understanding to what the terminology means, what the term, the word means. So we will study, inshallah, start by using the word Muslim home. It is a place where a Muslim family will reside in it, will be resident in it, in a temporary basis. For what purpose? To build the Muslim character. So what we need to know about the Muslim home right from the beginning. Number one, it is a temporary. But what is the permanent one? By Allah's grace, He will decide later. But what this is all about, the second thing we need to know, that it is to build the Muslim character. And what is the Muslim character? So what is the attribute of this Muslim character? Insha'Allah, we will study these things together in this series. The attribute of the Muslim character, how to develop it, and all of this. But we need to know some basic fundamental from the beginning. And we keep them aware in our head. Number one, you need to understand that the longest childhood is known to the mankind is the childhood of the human being race. We have some species, within 15, 20 minutes, the newborn is running with the herd. In a very short period of time, they can be independent. But the human being having the longest childhood, that means what? What it needed is not actually the physical development. There is something else need to be developed, which is the character. And this is why it is so long. You need to have that in mind. The second, you need to understand the development that goes in stages. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identified those stages for us. The three major stages, and I will talk about each one of them, inshallah, by detail in the due time. So, having that said, before we understand the attribute of the Muslim character, we need to understand how it gets developed. We all, from the beginning, we were born by what it called al-fitra, or the human being instinct. Part of the attribute of this human being instinct is what? Survival. If we're 20 days old, not 20 months, 20 days old, a baby, and you put him in each of the table, by the instinct surviving, that baby gonna move inside. That's scientific experiments been proven in this area. He will try to move away from the edge. There is an intuition, there is an instinct. If the human being will follow his instinct of surviving till he grow up, he cannot help but to be driven by certain things. He will be driven by the pleasure. Whatever give me pleasure is good. Whatever not give me pleasure is bad. And the second worst thing you will be driven by is economy. Every one of us can go home so happy if you go to a shopping center and you fill this car by everything in it, and you take it out and they say, have a nice day, don't pay anything. Who will be sad? I for one will be so happy. I will accept it right away. So in life, I will try to get the maximum by giving away the minimum. And there is no way in life that you can live this way, seeking pleasure, trying to go for the maxim without violating somebody else's right. What I just described about the shopping center, it can be stealing, or some people call it shoplifting, or whatever you want to call it. But it is not right. So now we want, if you do not, and that's what the purpose of the message is all about. The message of Islam that Allah sent it from Adam to Sayyidina Muhammad والسلام, is to take this fitrah, this innocent, and try charge it, start to mold it, and start to change it, and start to develop it, and to take it through a certain cycle. How it will do that? So now we know what the innocent or fitrah means. If this fitrah will be exposed to the message, which is do and don't and lawful and forbidden and what you're supposed to believe in and all of that, to the message, it will develop something else. What is that called? A damir, the conscious. We will have a damir. But like a terminology, we have to understand what the damir means. Damir means you are able to identify what is right and do it and stand by it according to the teaching of the Quran and Sunnah. And you know what is wrong and you stop it. You stop it and you resent it and fight it according to the Quran and Sunnah. You never justify your attitude. And you are in the third attribute is zikrillah tabarak wa ta'ala. Is you are in a state of zikr to Allah. And the most element of that zikr is what? The hope, al-rajah. Hope that Allah will accept. Imagine yourself submitting application for a job. What is the potential of you have this job if you just found out there are billions of people as much as you qualify as you and more already submitted to this job? Look, please don't come and tell me my qualification if that's what I'm going to depend on to be accepted. You hope. And that's what you need to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You hope. That's the dhamir. So, we have the fitrah that plus the message, if we understand it right, we will develop the conscious. Is that the end of it? No, it is just the beginning. Now I am going to just very quickly to go through this, I want to mention hadith. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this area is saying what? اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطل وارزقنا اجتنابه. Building ضمير. Oh Lord, let us know what is right and follow it, and let us know what is wrong and stay away from it. Right and wrong according to what? To what we want, or according to what you want? According to what you want. And also, there is another hadith, to make it very short, because I will talk inshallah about it in due time, when Allah subhanahu wa Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in selecting your spouse, he said what? To make it short, taribat ziyadaka bizat ad-deen. When you, there are so many categories to select women from, but take only one category, which is what? The one who has a deen. Why she has a deen? Because she has a conscious. And what is the conscious? Minimum requirement. Minimum requirement. Imagine you have a spouse, the only thing that they have in their souls, self-centers, and to get the maximum to Mr. Number or Mrs. Number One. You are gone. There is no family. There is no give and take. Now, we have the Damir plus the message. What are we going to have? We're going to have what it's called Al-Amal Al-Saleh, the good deed. Now, you know what is wrong, and you know the consequence, and you know what is right, and you know the consequence. So automatically, you find yourself doing what? Eliminating the bad, which is Amal Al-Saleh, and doing the right thing, which is Amal Al-Saleh. But the Amal al-Saleh itself got characteristic, has a certain requirement. I will go very quickly through them. Number one, the intention must be to please Allah. If you are a billionaire, you can spend a couple million dollars building a hospital. It makes me look good, or tax deductible. Is that good? It is good. No problem. No question. Is it Amal al-Saleh? No. عمل صالح, that means the intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is in the lawful, and it is followed by hope of acceptance. Hey, look, I built this hospital. There is no hope of acceptance here. You are dealing with that issue as if you are dealing with the bank. You owe me. No, that's attitude. It's not a religious attitude. The religious attitude, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, my prayer, my rituals, my life, my death, everything to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we started to have العمل الصالح. العمل الصالح, the good deed. Now I'm in the direction. Now I have the map. Plus the message again. And you see, every time I'm saying the message again, and I keep on, because what is the message? And that's what the whole thing is all about. In so many different levels, the same Quran, the same surah, the same hadith, you will see them different. You will hear them different. You will understand them different, and you will apply them different. Then they are the same. So when you come and say, I studied the Quran and I finished, or I studied the Sunnah and I finished, you got a big problem. That's not chemistry or biology or mathematics. That is ongoing user guide to the last breath that you have. You are learning and acquiring and getting trained by the message. So Al-Amal al-Saleh, the good deed, plus the message again, where it will develop Makarim al-Akhlaq, the ethics. Makarim al-Akhlaq here, that means you start, part of this Makarim al-Akhlaq is that you start to trial yourself, try to evaluate yourself. It is not what I want, it is what Allah wants. Did I do that right? Wrong is wrong. I did wrong. No explanation. Correct it and keep going. Don't argue about it. In Makarim al-Akhlaq, that means you started to try to do what? To do better. To do better. And there is a big difference between etiquettes and Makarim al-Akhlaq. Etiquettes, you can go to the library, and they want to tell you, open the door for the ladies. When you eat by your right hand or left hand, and the small fork and the big fork, and you serve the soup before you serve this, and whatever. But that does not mean you are a human being. A lot of people excellent in etiquette, but they are the cause of all the trouble before the humanity. Look at politicians and whatever. They know the etiquette very well, but there is no akhlaq. Not all of them. There is no akhlaq. So what happened after the akhlaq? And this is why you see Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said when he was identifying his message, he said what? إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمَّمْ مَكَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. My mission is what? To help you to develop and to perfect your manner. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was describing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, what? You are the best abid? You are the best submitter? You are the best servant? He said, what? وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. So the ultimate here is what? The development of this khuluqun azim. And that's what the whole thing is all about. Okay. Now you see, patience is a khuluqun azim. Forgiveness is a khuluqun azim. Giving others and sharing is a khuluqun azim. And that is some, that type of things you cannot develop, or you can buy it, you know, from the shelf, from a grocery store. That's, you have to develop all your life. All your life, you are in a trial of doing it. And that's what you need the family for. And that's what you need the Muslim home for. Okay, now, we have makarim al-akhlaq. Is that the end of it? No. That's not the end of it. After makarim al-akhlaq, add to the message, it will develop something called al-inqiyad. Al-inqiyad, it means what? The submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I can offer you an offer. You can say, let me think about it. And yes, you're right. When you say, let me think about it, what you gonna do? You're gonna wait. Is there anything in it for me or not? Benefit or not? What am I getting out of it? If I'm not getting anything out of it, I don't care if it is right or wrong. I'm not getting anything. I'm going to let go. But in this stage, no. Listen, I hope that we all will extensively study the history of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. After all of that, he already went through the iman, went through the miracles, went through whatever evidence and a trial and turbulence. وَإِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This stage. That means what? Ya Allah, there is no more Ibrahim. There is no more what Ibrahim want. There is no more what he, what? Ibrahim feel. It is Ibrahim want what you want. Ibrahim gonna do what you want him to do. If that painful, he will do it. If that rewarding, he will do it. Why? Because it is your will. And look at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. قالوا what? سمعنا وأطعنا. انقياد. Submission. Expensive? Yes, the most. But that's what the whole life is all about. That means part of the inqiyad is accepting whatever you've been given. You accept because you have a confidence. You have a confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know that the whole entire message got summed in Surah in the Holy Quran. All the teaching. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَاهُمْ وَمُهَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ. Al-Quran is the final. The Quran being summed in three surahs. Al-Fatiha, Al-Baqarah, and Ali Umran. And Al-Baqarah and Ali Umran summed in Al-Fatiha. And Al-Fatiha got summed in only two words. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, it means what? The one who is capable and able to prevent harm. Ar-Rahim, all the time. This is why maybe you see out of the whole attributes of Allah and the names of Allah, there is a unique surah in the whole Quran. It says what? Ar-Rahman. Allah knows. Allah wants you to know that there is no one can prevent harm but Him. And no one can be beneficial to you but him. If you feel that, would you or would you not accept whatever you are in? And that is al-inqiyad. Al-inqiyad, the submission. Gonna go to the last message or the last stage. This inqiyad plus the message again, development again, user guide again, tell you what to do again, you will come to what? Al-Rida. Please. Radiallahu anhum wa radu'an. They are pleased with Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with them. And Allah also saying what? There are a certain category of people. When they die in peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيَّتُهُ النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ ارْجِعِي إِلَى رَبِّكِ ها راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي not في عبيدي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي اللهم اجعلنا منهم. Some gonna say if there's any difference between عبادي and عبيدي. Yes. Both of them, total submission. Abidi, by not your will, somebody captured you. Put a gun on your head. You want to do what they want? There is null to the what? To your will. There is no will for you anymore. But Ibadi, قل يا عبادي, I went there by my will. I submitted by my will. No one pushed me to do it. Why are you doing it? Because I love to do it. Why you fast? Why you stay out of food and whatever? Because I want to please him. Did anybody put a gun in your head to fast? No. So you came by your own will. You came by your own will. Hoping for what? Acceptance. These are the stages that that's supposed to be the human character supposed to develop. And this development, it needs a shelter. And it needs role models. And it needs waking up, training, and education. It needs all of that. And that is, all will be done only where? In the Muslim home. The series will take some time, inshallah. But the most important thing is now today you have the commitment, inshallah, that you will make your home a Muslim. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and guidance. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our guidance and forgive all our sin and all our mistakes and all our shortcomings. And guide us according to the teaching of the Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can live in peace and we can die in peace. And in the hereafter we will be in peace and will be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق الجهاد حتى أتاه الله اليقين. This, inshallah, khutbah. What I would like to say is this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sended you somebody else in the form of a spouse or in the form of a child or even in the form
of a parent resident with me, or whomever resides with, it came with him or with her a message. What if this message it says, I trusted you, with that being to help him to qualify to my mercy. I am giving you innocent soul, and I'm telling you what to do with it. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, kafa bil mar'i ithman an yudhi'a man ya'ud. There is no crime, there is no sin more than you support or you provide for some people, or the provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a people in your companion and custody, and they go stray. Have the intention to build the Muslim home. Have the intention which you imagine the Salihin, they come to your home, when they need to pray, they will find a place to pray. They are not going to feel isolated or a stranger. Let everybody know your home from the zikrillah in it. We all have recorders, we all have tapes, we all have CDs, we all have MBs, we all have the whole entire thing. I am not pointing my finger to anyone. Are we dedicated sometimes to listen to the Quran in our home? And if we don't, how our children will do? Talking is easy. Sayyidina Muhammad, I'm going to finish the khutbah by saying Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam divided his day to three. Three segments. And he never allowed one segment to override the other, or he never allowed one to overflow the other. One third of his time, we are sitting here gaining the fruit of one third for the Ummah, for making da'wah, for solving the problems, for facing whatever he had to face. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alayhi salatu wasalam. And one third to his family, to look after his family, livelihood, raising his children, taking care of the wives, taking care of, he need to do something at home. He never allowed this to override this. He didn't say, leave me alone, I'm occupied, I'm busy, don't you see how serious what I'm doing? No. And we all, and some of you even know more than I mean, how he allowed the Hassan and Hussein to play with him and to take care of him, and whatever he said about raising a child. And the last third, that's what he said, bayni wa bayna. No one to get to one third. That one third, no one. Sayyida Aisha radhiyallahu alayha, she says, when the time comes, as if he never know us, or we never know him. That's the head of a household. That's one of the attributes of the household. Dedicated time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was honoring the prophets and giving the certificate and the authentication of the prophets, that I'm not talking about any, but I'm going to say in other doctrine, either they did not distorted the facts or they denied the facts about the certain prophets and messengers like Solomon and David and whatever. That's not our issue here. But when the certificate was passing in the Quran about the authentication of the Prophet, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to Sayyidina Ismail, he made something stand out. About Sayyidina Ismail, he made something to stand out. What is that thing that stand out? وَكَانَ يَعْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ. They were, they all praying, they all making da'wah, they all. But what makes Sayyidina Ismail stand out here? وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة. Made it mandatory requirement. I hope, inshallah, that today gonna be a beginning, that we all will go back and try to heal our homes, and go back and try to build our homes. Our spouses and our life is not by coincidence. Our children and our lives is not a coincidence. There is a ya bunay, la tushrik billah, illa ash-shirk ladhulmun azim. Uthman advising his son, let us go back and let us start by stopping the wrong things that we know it is wrong from our home. And let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness, guidance, and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the right conscience and make us among, give us the makarim al-akhlaq and give us the submission and help us inshaAllah to be among the best believers inshaAllah ta'ala, and help every and each one of us to be a da'i and make a da'wah in his own home or in her own home inshaAllah. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply him in our life, so we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and inshaAllah we will be in peace in this life and in hereafter. عباد الله قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأعلم.